Good evening, everyone. Brian Newbert here from GoldenBlack.com, live once again in his car, driving home from Mackey Arena following Purdue's 95-67 win over Ohio University here in West Lafayette. This is our Golden Black Radio Express post-game edition, and it is once again brought to you by our friends at Purdue Federal Credit Union, the East End Grill, First Source Bank, 6th Street Dive Restaurant, and the Charters Team Remax Ability Plus. So, once again, Purdue beats Ohio 95-67, snapping a two-game Purdue losing streak. Obviously, one of these games where nobody really expects Purdue to lose on its home floor to a Mid-American Conference opponent. But at the same time, with some of the inconsistencies you've seen from Purdue this season, you know, some of its considerations in terms of its inexperience, its maturity, some things that have perhaps not been constants for the Boilermakers to this point in the season, you didn't really want to take anything for granted in terms of how you viewed this game. And but what you found out at the end of the night was you had nothing to worry about, because a team that has to defend to get things moving in a positive direction here, let me turn off my windshield wipers, they're squeaking, a team that has to defend to get this moving back in the right direction did just that. You know, when you look at the final numbers, they don't look as overwhelming as you would think they did if you watched the game. Ohio shot 41%, which is not atrocious. Turned the ball over 14 times, which isn't atrocious either. But if you watch the game, what you saw was a Purdue team that went down 3-0 and then turned the game on its side with a pretty decisive run that was fueled by defense. You know, Purdue strung together, I think, and I didn't look this up. I'm quoting Nojel Eastern on this. He would have noticed it if I didn't. He says 7 straight stops, basically, for Purdue. But also part of that was that Purdue was turning those stops into offense. And a team that's been very much up and down, to put it nicely, as a transition offense team, transition offensive team, I should say, was very good in transition offense. And disruptive defense led to a lot of easy offense for Purdue. That raised its margin of error considerably offensively, and just kind of made things a lot easier for Purdue. They got out in the open floor. They made some threes. They got some offensive rebounds. The one thing that really jumped out about the run, and I think it was like 27-4 or something like that, that sort of decided this game early. And Ohio did get back within 9, so I shouldn't say it decided the game early, but it gave Purdue a big lead, obviously, that was never really credibly threatened. And by credibly threatened, I mean like down to a possession or two. What really stood out about that run was just how complete it was. You know, I obviously mentioned the defensive component of it, that Purdue was forcing turnovers, but also a little bit of everything kind of factored into it. You know, Purdue was scoring off the dribble. Purdue was scoring in transition. Purdue was making threes. Purdue shot the ball very well from three-point range tonight. Purdue got a bucket in the post, throwing the ball down to Matt Harms with his back to the basket. Purdue rebounded. It got every defensive rebound that I can recall in that stretch. It got an offensive rebound for a bucket. It just did a little bit of everything. And for a team where, you know, balance has been a constant question for them, whether that's how Purdue views it or not, it is an easy thing to look at. Your scoring is all coming in the same way from the same people. I thought it was pretty significant there that Purdue did a lot of different things kind of early on in the game to really kind of put that game away before really it even started. I thought it was a pretty emphatic performance by Purdue. They played very well on offense, very well on defense, and the two are very much interconnected because of what I mentioned before, how much the defense meant to the offense. Obviously, this was not you know, Texas or Notre Dame or Florida State or Virginia Tech or the other teams Purdue has lost to this point. This was just Ohio. This was a bye game. I don't think anybody's going to beat their chest over beating Ohio the way you beat Ohio in Mackey Arena. It doesn't undo any of the disappointments that have occurred to this point this season. But a couple of things about that. One is that, you know, every little positive thing for a team in Purdue's position matters. You know, this team needs confidence. This team needs momentum. This team needs to experience success. And this schedule has not afforded it, you know, a traditional opportunity to kind of work their way into that kind of thing. This is an atypical schedule this year in the sense that this was only, it's December 20th or whatever it is, and this is only Purdue's 5th home game. This was only its second home game in like a month. And typically, you know, in the Big Ten nowadays, you have various entanglements that basically schedule your schedule for you. Between the Big Ten ACC Challenge, when you're in the Gavitt games, that's another one. Everybody plays in an exempt event. They don't know who their opponents are when they sign up, but they play in an exempt event anyway. Obviously, Purdue's in the Crossroads Classic. So that's basically the skeleton of your non-conference season. The difference this year was that, you know, with the 20-game Big Ten schedule, that takes out another weekend of games. You just didn't get home games. With the Big Ten ACC being on the road, and with the Texas series starting on the road, it would have suited this team well to have another home game or two in there. Next year's team will presumably get the Big Ten ACC at home and will get Texas at home. So it's two signature out-of-conference games will be played in Mackey Arena, presumably. This team really could have used that, because I do think this Purdue team is probably wired to play much better at home than probably away from home, because it's young, it's new, it's inexperienced, and I think its collective personality is such that I think it's an energetic team that feeds off kind of the visceral and the energy that could come out of an enthusiastic home crowd. I think is something that could benefit this Purdue team even more than it's benefited others. And I think you've seen that to this point in bursts. The end of the Maryland game, the second half of the Ball State game, tonight at the start, Purdue has been able to make runs and play stretches of really, really emphatic basketball. And there have been stretches on the road as well, but I just think it's more likely at home. And I think, you know, if Purdue had next year's schedule this year, you know, perhaps the home court advantage is what gets you over the top against Florida State, what gets you over the top against Texas. Obviously, this is a moot point. I'm just saying that I think this is a team that's probably better suited to play at home than a lot of Purdue teams that have come before it. And Purdue obviously has historically had a pretty significant home court advantage with Mackey Arena being what it is. But obviously that was not this team's reality. It went on the road. It lost all those games. And I think, just to circle back to my original point, I think in light of all that has happened to this point, any success is important success for this team. And to beat Ohio in itself is nothing to write home about. To beat Ohio the way it did is something a little bit more significant than that. But if it beats Ohio and then beats Belmont and then goes into Big Ten play with a little bit of success sort of behind it, perhaps it gets some wind at its sails, so to speak, and is feeling a little bit better about itself than it would have had it come off some of these losses incurred. So I guess the whole point is that any success is important success for a team that needs success if it wants to experience more success. I know that's as convoluted a sentence as you've probably heard tonight, but that's the best way I can think of to put it. I think part of the advantage of playing at home is it typically jibes well for your young players performing well, and I think you saw that tonight. I think Eric Hunter played well. Obviously, this has been a difficult transition for him. He has never looked particularly comfortable this season. I think he's looked overwhelmed at times. That is a product of inexperience. That is a product of being thrown into a prominent role quickly with no safety net behind him. And I think in some cases, Mackey Arena can be that safety net, because things are never easy, but they are a little bit easier when you play at home historically. From what I've been told, from what I've observed, that just seems like a logical thing to think. On top of that, with the young players, I think Travion Williams is really, really emerging for Purdue right now. What that means for him moving forward, we shall see. But right now, Purdue has a three-man rotation at center. It is trying to find a lot of minutes for a lot of centers. And Travion Williams has crowbarred his way into that rotation by playing very well in the opportunities he has gotten. I don't think this is a full arrival quite yet. I think, you know, there's some things that still haven't been thrown at him in terms of, this is still a player that opponents aren't preparing for because they're not anticipating him being a prominent part of what Purdue does. I think game conditions, probably at the end of the Notre Dame game, probably factored a little bit into his success. I don't say that to take anything away from what he did, but I think it probably was a factor that when he came in, Notre Dame had a big lead, probably wanted to take away threes, probably was willing to let the freshman go one-on-one with a veteran to earn points in situations where Purdue needed points desperately. Today, obviously, is a situation where you're playing against a mid-major opponent that didn't have tremendous size. But still, Travion Williams goes out in less than 10 minutes and gets 8 rebounds, is productive offensively once again. You've not seen some things he's capable of doing in terms of his passing, in terms of his savvy, his feel for the game. I do think that he is definitely trending upward. You're going to see more and more of him most likely here, but Purdue has a logjam at center here. But Travion Williams is definitely coming, and I think that changes the way you look at not only the short term for Purdue basketball at his position, but also the long term. You look like you have a player here who's going to be a big part of what you do at a point that might not be that far off in the distance. This is a guy who right now you look like you can throw the ball to, who can give you a physical presence around the basket you don't otherwise have, an offensive option you might not have, a rebounding presence that you might not have, not just in terms of productivity, but in terms of power, in terms of size, just a very promising player for which things are happening very quickly. And that is a very positive development for Purdue. A lot of positive developments for Purdue tonight against Ohio, another of which Carson Edwards played very well. He was very efficient, made good decisions, but also his wingman was back operating at full optimal level as well. Ryan Klein played very well, made shots, and that's when Purdue is really dangerous, is when Carson Edwards and Ryan Klein are both clicking at the same time. This is not a team with an abundance of scorers per se, but this is a team with enough scoring to win. But for that scoring to be enough to win, it needs its known commodities operating at a pretty high level, and those known commodities are obviously Carson Edwards and Ryan Klein. You saw both of them operating at the level Purdue needs them at tonight, both in terms of their productivity, their decision-making, their shot-making, kind of all that goes into it. Purdue is very good in the backcourt tonight, and that's obviously something that it needs moving forward. Purdue's not going to beat good teams this year without Carson Edwards and Ryan Klein playing well, most likely. Playing well together, especially, to win really, really big games. So a lot of positive for Purdue in this win over Ohio, obviously, as you would expect, but we're not guaranteed. So that's kind of everything I have to say about Purdue's 95-67 win over Ohio. We'll talk to you again, obviously, after the holidays. I hope everyone has a wonderful Christmas, a wonderful Hanukkah, Kwanzaa, Festivus, whatever holiday it is you celebrate. I hope it is very pleasant. And just wanted to thank everyone for your support through the course of the year. Thank you for your enthusiasm. I'm sorry, I can't speak tonight about our products. Appreciate your support. Appreciate all of you who come up to me in public and say hello. I appreciate meeting all of you. Appreciate you reading, listening, all of the things you do to support us. It is very much appreciated, especially this time of year when it's the season of appreciation, I guess you would say. So with all that said, finally, I'm done talking. This is our Golden Black Radio Express from Purdue's 95-67 win over Ohio. It's been brought to you by Purdue Federal Credit Union, East End Grill, the First Source Bank, Sixth Street Dive Restaurant, and the Charters Team Remax Ability Plus. So once again, thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much for reading. And we will talk to you again after the Belmont game, I believe on December 29th. So that will be Purdue's next basketball game and your next Golden Black Radio Express post-game edition. So thanks, everybody.